Morning, everyone.
Morning.
Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you.
Okay. I would like to ask the mothers here, stand up. I know. Yes. Who wants to say thank you, mothers? And Mother Suki, may you be a mom soon. So congratulations. And yeah, it's a very challenging task. Challenging job to be a mother, and I, by observing my mom, what she did for me, I know as a mom, you face a lot of difficulties in life, a different one than men, but it's also a blessing to be able to be a mom. In life, there are a lot of difficulties. When I was a teenager, I was thinking that life as a teenager was more difficult than life as an adult. That's why when I was a teenager, I always dreamed to become an adult one day, because the adults, they didn't need to go to school. They didn't need to do homework. And while I was burning my midnight oil studying, I saw my uncles chatting, napping, having so much fun. And my grandpa would often drink rice wine over dinner, eating meat and roast peanuts. And while I was just drinking congee and eating vegetables. So that's why I envied him. I thought when I became an adult, life would be perfect. So I studied really, really hard in order to be able to get out of school really, really quick, to get a good job, and then I could live a perfect adult life. But when I was working, I found out that work life was actually more difficult than being a student, because I still needed to work for at least 8 hours per day, not going to school, but going to work. I needed to meet another deadline, and I needed to deal with a lot of difficult people at work. And there were a lot of so-called office politics. Weekends were the only times that I looked forward to, because that was the time that I could take a break from work and the challenges at work. But I often needed to work overtime. And when work got really, really busy, even during the weekend, sometimes I would go back to work. So I missed the 3 month summer vacations that some of you would have 1 week later. 3 month summer vacations. Or some of you have like a little bit more than 2 months. And definitely I missed also the 1 month winter break. Now, after I've started working, and even before in my previous job, I only had 12 days of vacation days. Or if you work for a longer time, you get a few more days, plus the public holidays, a few days of public holidays. And that's it. That's why I envy you, students, that you can have such long summer vacation and the winter break. After I started working, I found out that I also needed to pay for food, apartment rent, electricity, car, and expenses related to my car, including gasoline and everything else that I needed. If I stopped working, I would stop living. I would be dead without the money to pay for what I needed. But I never worried about those things when I was a student. Life as a student is much simpler, besides the stress that you need to face before final exams. Then when I was getting older, it was about time to get married. Finding the right person to marry was a difficult and complicated challenge. It adds the difficulty of adult life. What is annoying is that your family and friends would start asking and pressuring you about dating and getting married when you are getting old. They'll ask you, why are you not dating? And when are you going to get married? Sometimes that becomes very annoying to those who are still single, maybe still seeking that mate that God has planned for your life. And if you are lucky enough, you might be able to find someone who is willing to marry you. Then you feel, oh, I'm so blessed. Someone is willing to marry me. Then it was time to have kids. If you don't have any kids, your family and friends would start asking and pressuring you, why are you not having any kids? Let me give you some advice on how to have babies. Not a different type of theory. Okay, that sometimes can be very annoying, you know, it's my business, okay, to have kids or not. But, you know, your family asks those questions and often out of concern. But that can be something that is very difficult to deal with. Then you have kids. On top of living your own already difficult and challenging life, you also need to relive the life of being a kid through your kids. You sometimes live the life of a kid to play with them, to do what they are doing, and you also have extra difficulty in teaching them, in guiding them according to the way of the Lord in the scriptures. And sometimes it's very difficult because the culture is very different from what the Bible teaches. At the same time, you'll find out that as your kids are growing up, going to college, you become old. And some of the health problems are surfacing. High cholesterol, high blood pressure, and some of, you know, people of my age already have diabetes. At the same time, parents are getting really, really old for my age, okay? And they have even more health issues and health problems. And then we need to think about how can we take care of them. And not a difficulty of life. So you see that life is full of difficulties. No matter which stage you are, actually life gets more difficult as you get older, not easier. But these difficulties often become distractions to us when we are trying to see God's plan for our life. To live out God's plans for our life, these problems, when we don't know how to deal with them, they constantly bother us, distract us, and we cannot do what God wants us to do. And the most important plan according to the scripture for us is in the great commandment. That is, we should love God with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul, and all our hearts. So we need to glorify God, and we need to also live out the great commission, that is to make known who Jesus Christ is, what he did for us on the cross. At the same time, to help others to grow as a Christian, while we continue to live out the teachings in the Bible. So, how can we face the difficulties and overcome them according to God's way, and not let those difficulties distract us from living out God's will, God's plan for our life, to glorify God in everything we do with the mission in mind that it is through Jesus Christ, telling people, showing people who Jesus Christ is, and that they can also be disciples of Jesus Christ. Today we will learn from Joseph again. We will learn how to overcome difficulties in our lives so that we can live out God's plan for our life. We will see that Joseph faced a huge difficulty in his life. And we will also see how he overcame that huge difficulty and the result of overcoming that difficulty. Then we learn from his example. First, Joseph faced a huge difficulty in his life. If you have your Bible, you can open your Bible to Genesis chapter 39. We'll only be going over verses 1 to 6, the first half of verse 6. First, Genesis chapter 39, verse 1. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian who was one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there. So Joseph was his parents' most loved son. He had a good life as a teenager before he was 17 years old. Life was very good. He was most loved. And his mom made a very, very beautiful role for him that made his brothers, elder brothers, envious, jealous of him to the point of hating him. And after he revealed to them the two dreams that was God's plan for him, they hated him even more, as we learned last time. The 10 elder brothers didn't kill Joseph, but they ended up selling Joseph as a slave to Egypt. What do you think? Starting your adulthood, being sold to a foreign land as a slave. I think it's a very difficult way to start adulthood. Have you ever traveled in a foreign country where people speak a totally different language, where the culture is totally different? You cannot communicate with people, and the customs, the culture there is very different. You don't know how to adjust to that. You don't feel comfortable, and you might even get sick very easily in that culture. But you just go there as a tourist, it's already hard enough. Think about if you actually are sold as a slave to work there in that environment where you cannot communicate, where you are not comfortable with the culture and customs, and you are being treated as a subhuman, a slave. I found it difficult to adjust to life in Hong Kong when I went to Hong Kong when I was 12 years old from mainland China. Because of the huge cultural difference and also the language barrier, I could not understand what people were talking about in Hong Kong. They were speaking Cantonese, while I was speaking a very strange, very rare Chinese dialect. That's even very different from Mandarin. So I totally could not understand Cantonese. And the culture there was very, very different. It was very westernized. I was born in a very small town, small city in mainland China, 39 years ago. Very backward, simple city life there. But suddenly when I went to Hong Kong, I saw high rises everywhere, tall buildings surrounding me, and on the street, there were people everywhere, so crowded that you cannot imagine until you go to Hong Kong, you'll see so many people in Hong Kong. And I felt so overwhelmed and in a way so pressured by so many new things, people, strangers around me that I could not even communicate to. I felt completely lost. But at that time, my parents were around, and at that time, my parents were my only source of security in that environment. But Joseph had a similar experience without his parents around. His parents were not around, and he was forced to do what he had never done before, to work as a slave. As I thought about that, he must have been yelled at enough, if not struck at, when he was not able to understand orders from his master or those who were above him. Just a 17-year-old kid. As I thought about that, he must have served very delicious food to his master. And not a delicious food, but he could only smell at it. After that, he would need to return to the room for the slave to eat the simple food for slaves. He should have served his master to go to bed in a very extravagant bedroom with very, very comfortable bed. And after that, he had to return back to the room for the slave to share a wooden bed with other slaves. Such a huge contrast in his life. Such good life here, and I have to serve as a slave. It's hard enough to just live a very difficult life, but when you live a difficult life next to someone who is living a very good life, it makes it more difficult. As a slave, Joseph needed to watch out what he did and what he said, or otherwise he would be punished as a slave. It's hard to be a slave. Can I be more difficult than that? A 7-year-old boy in a foreign country as a slave. Well, the difficulties that you are facing, some of those I mentioned earlier, do you think they are more difficult than what Joseph was facing? Then how did Joseph deal with such huge difficulty in his life that we can learn a lesson from, and then that will help us to gain wisdom to also face the unique difficulties that we are facing in our life? Then we come to verse number 2. We see that Joseph trusted God, and God gave him success. Joseph trusted God, and God gave him success. Verse 2, the Lord was with Joseph, and he prospered. And he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him, how could his master saw that the Lord, God, was with him? He must have lived out his faith in his life. That's why his master was able to see, this is someone who believes in God. This is someone who is following God in what he said, what he did, and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did. His master noticed. First of all, in difficulty, I see that God helped Joseph. Why did God help Joseph? Because Joseph trusted God. He actually believed in the dream, the plan that God revealed to him through a dream while he was asleep. And that he believed would be fulfilled. So he had a hope, and he continued to trust God even in such difficult times. Then God gave him wisdom to learn a new language in Egypt, to adjust to a new culture, and to be able to do well in everything his master asked him to do. But most importantly, as I just mentioned, Joseph was able to be bold enough to show his faith in action. That was not easy, because at that time, Egyptians believed in all kinds of false gods. And he had to show that he believed on the only unique God who is love, who is holy, who created the heavens and the earth. I believe he should have prayed, giving thanks to God before meals. That was very different from other people in Egypt who were worshipping the false gods. Often they would have rituals to offer something to their god, sometimes even sinning in their rituals. And Joseph should have also told other people about the God that he was praying to, the God that he was worshipping, and that the God who created heaven and the earth. People should also have noted that Joseph was living a life of integrity and love to all those around him. Egyptians worshiped different gods. But finally, they saw through Joseph's knife a more powerful God, a loving God. And they must be very impressed and even curious about what is the God that you are believing in like that make you so different and yet so good. I desire to know about this God. So in difficulty, do we have the faith that Joseph had in God through our words and actions? Have we ever gone through a stage of difficulty in our lives in which we felt we needed more time, money, energy in our hands to solve the problems at hand? Did we stop coming to church, stop giving money to God's kingdom, and stop serving in church and the people who needed God because we needed more time, money, and energy for ourselves to fix the big problem that we are facing? We think that it's okay to give us a break from God and that would take care of the problem. That's the challenge that people living in developed countries face. Because of the technology and good materialistic lifestyle, they think they can take care of things by their own power, by money, by the time they have, and by the gifts they have, and by the energy that they have. Then the problems will become bigger and bigger until it becomes too big that they realize that they can't solve the problem themselves. Often it was in those times, often maybe a terminal disease, that people actually think about God. God with money, even with the medical technology, I cannot take care of this disease. Would you heal me? Even doctors cannot do that for me. And then they realized that they needed God. Then they will often set aside time with God through praying to God, reading and meditating on God's word. They might even be willing to set aside money because they don't know how long they will live with a terminal disease. Then they will start thinking, I cannot really keep what I have now. I don't know how long I'm going to live. I should give that to who will need that. Diana, Wendy, and if you want to talk, could you maybe go outside to talk and then come back in? Would you do that? Or otherwise, let's learn from God's word. Okay? So you can feel free to talk, but maybe you can go outside to talk so that, you know, and you will not be distracted by me and other people will not be distracted by you. So, all right? Good. But we do not need to wait to those times that we'll think about God and then set aside what God has given us to God, for God first. And then seek God's wisdom through the peace and the composure that God has given us, we will be able to see a clearer picture of what it is like. Than before we consciously knew about it. The seemingly huge problem that we thought that we were desperate about was solved by God's mighty hand. Because we focused on God and God gave us the wisdom to deal with the problem, God opened doors that we by our own powers could not open. Let me ask you, does God really need our money, our time, and energy? Is God in need of the money we have, the time we have, and the energy we have, even the gifts we have. God, I have a lot of money, I have a lot of time, and I have a lot of gifts and energy. I know you need that, let me help you, God. Does God need that? God created us. He created everything. He sustains everything. By His word, He created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. By His word, He is sustaining every one of our breath, so that we are still alive today, sometimes to just do things that we want to do, ignoring God in our lives. We often think that the money, the energy, and the gifts that we have belong to us, but it is God, actually, who owns all that He gives us. But why, then, do we give our money, give our time, give energy to God and for God, either in the church, in the family, or even in school, or in the community? Not because that God needs that from us, but that through doing that, we have shown to God who we really trust. If we willingly do that, we have shown that we trust in God's provision for our life, not ourselves, not what we have in our lives. With that type of faith, in everything that we do, what we face, either a big problem or even everyday living, I believe God will grant us true success as He did in Joseph's life. So that is the key for us to face any difficulty in our life, to trust God, to set apart ourselves for God, to God, and then God will give us the strength, the wisdom, the composure, the peace to face even, you think, an insurmountable, big, huge difficulty in your life. So I encourage everyone that even, either in good times or bad times, that we should keep trusting God. We should keep worshiping God. And we should keep serving God and giving to God our all. And God will bless us. Will we do that? Will we keep trusting God? Will we keep serving God? Will we keep giving to God what God wants us to give that belongs to Him? I see some of you nodding your head. If you're willing to do that, if you indeed do that, you indeed will be blessed, and you will not even worry about what will happen tomorrow, because you know that God is in control of tomorrow, and God loves you. If you trust Him, He will provide you. That's why Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 31, "So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?" For the pagans, those who did not believe in God, they run after all these things. These are the things that are the goals of their life. They pursue these things as if they live for these things. And your Heavenly Father knows that you need them. If you indeed need those that other non-believers are also running after, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things that you really need, that will be given to you as well. If you reverse the order, you run after these things, you do not seek God's kingdom and righteousness first, you often end up, no matter how much you do, how much money you have, you end up in more worry, more problems, maybe until you are desperate, then you will realize that I need to trust God at the first place, not at the last place. Thirdly, we see that the result of Joseph's true faith in God, in everything that he did, brought not only success in everything that he did for God's glory, But even Joseph's boss, our master, trusted Joseph. And God even blessed Joseph's boss because of Joseph. Now see that Joseph's boss trusted Joseph completely, seeing what Joseph did. As in verse 4, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Now, he was just doing the general chores. Now, his master, his boss, trusted him, and he became his personal attendant to take care of his life, daily life. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything he owned. Many of those are very valuable items, very precious things that those other slaves would not be allowed to even touch, because the master might be afraid that they would just steal those valuable items. But Potiphar, Joseph's boss, trusted him. Everything he owned, he let him take care of those. From the time he put him in charge of his household and of all that he owned, from that time, Joseph became almost second in power in the whole household as a slave. That is a miracle. And it is because of Joseph's faith in God. God also blessed the boss he served. The Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field, so he left in Joseph's care everything he had. Just repeating to emphasize so that we'll remember, indeed, Potiphar, Joseph's boss, entrusted everything in Joseph's care. With Joseph in charge, he did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate. Because Joseph did such a good job in everything that he did, even being the personal attendant of his boss, and also taking care of the whole household, the boss was carefree. He didn't need to worry about anything because he trusted Joseph. The only thing that he concerned himself was eating. And that was also well taken care of, just being served and eat that. I haven't been with my parents since I came to the United States 18 years ago. I mean, I have not been living with them in one house for 18 years. I have been visiting them regularly, once a year. Now my mom is in Vancouver. I visit them, my mom and my brother, and my sister-in-law. My dad already passed away over the past 18 years. So I understand what it is like to be away from family in a foreign land, the United States. People here do not understand what I speak, my first language. I have to try to understand what they are talking about so that I learn English. So I can totally relate to Joseph's experience in a foreign land without family members around. Since I became a believer of Jesus Christ, I actually read from the Bible about Joseph and what happened to him. And well, I just look at the passage, Genesis chapter 39, verses 1 to 6. It just stuck in my head that if I trust God, He is faithful. He will always keep His promises for me. I trust Him, He will take care of me. What I need to do is that I trust in Him and use the resources that He has given me to do what He wants me to do, giving my best to God, for God, not for myself. So as a result, even in many difficult situations, I just kept doing what God wanted me to do. I did not give up because I knew in the end, God would take care of me. After graduating from college, I interviewed for a job. The vice president of the company wanted a lunch interview. Before I ate, I told the VP that I would first pray to give thanks to God. I was surprised when the VP asked me to pray for the success of our future work relationship. So I prayed. He was watching me pray. God gave me the job. And I also became the VP's friend. I trusted God. I did not compromise my integrity at work. I gave my best in whatever I did. I said no to a request from my boss, the VP. I said, no, I cannot do this. He asked me to do something. I said, no, I'm a Christian. I cannot do this, what you're asking me to do. And he respected me. He did not force me to do that. Actually, what I did helped him to respect me even more. And he often would ask me for biblical advice about family and other struggles he personally was having that he would not share with anybody else. These things that he shared with me, if someone was not someone that he could trust, they would spread that around, such weaknesses, you know, and make him look bad. But he trusted me to share those, and I didn't share specifically what that those were. Even now, I'm not going to share with you what he shared with me, but I cherished that relationship that I had with my boss, and he trusted me because I trusted God. And I see that God blessed his business during the time I was there. From a small office in a very small building to a big office, more people that he could hire to work for that business. So, I experienced God's word because I first believed in God. And I see that God continued to do that in my life as I continued to trust in him first. And then God will take care of the rest. Most of you are students who have final exams next week. Who do you trust? What do you trust? When you're preparing for your final exams, when you're facing this difficult situation that some of the classes that you're not doing very well, and it's very critical that you do well in the final exams. If you trust yourself, what would you typically do? Is that you will burn your midnight oil. Some of you would study overnight without getting any sleep. That I already shared, that will not be good for you. You might not be actually really be able to do well simply because you studied overnight. And most importantly, our body, that is the temple of the Holy Spirit, you're hurting it. You're prostituting your body in order that you believe by your own power, maybe not sleeping, then you'll be able to do well. But if you trust God, it'll be a very different story. You have already studied the many weeks before the final exam. You'll be faithful in everything that you do for God. Instead of being lazy, you have been faithful and you have been diligent. And when final exams come, you still spend time to sleep first, to eat first, to drink and still take care of your body, but you always prayerfully prepare for the final exam. And the final exam will be a joyful experience for you because that's the time that no more time to study. Now let me see what God has helped me to learn. How much I can give in this exam. I give my best for God, and those might be like the harvest time. That is not the time for you to sow and to plant. That is harvest time. So Joseph trusted God in his heart first, which produced a life of faith in words, in action, of love and integrity, and people around him noticed that. By what we say, what we do in our life, even without we saying, can people tell that we believe in God? Or do we believe in the same thing that other people are believing in, pursuing money, success in this world? God blessed Joseph and his work because of his faith in God. And God blessed even the people around Joseph, even the boss that he worked for. So I say that if we trust God in difficulties in our lives, God will bless us, our work, and people in our lives according to God's plan, in God's unique way. So, will we trust God in our difficulties, or will we trust ourselves? Do we trust God first, or do we trust God last, as a last resort? There's nothing that I can do now. God, help me. Or God, help me now, before I do anything. That makes a big difference. Although on the outside, they might not see as a big difference. So let's pray and ask God to trust Him first, not last. Our dear Heavenly Father, You love us, and You know all things. You know our difficulties. Each of us face different difficulties and challenges at different stage of our life. But God not only know about our needs, our difficulties and our challenges, but You also care for us. But God, besides taking care of our difficulties, You desire most the relationship that we have with You, that we trust You first in everything that we do, not trusting You next when we are desperate and we cry out to You for help. It is faith in God, even in good times, that pleases God. I just pray that You give us this attitude to always prayerfully ask God for help in everything that we do. Even we think, I can manage this, but we know that it's only by God's power we can do even what we think we can manage well, that will benefit, truly benefit ourselves and others. Would You forgive us because of what we have? We often think that we can take care of ourselves. We can manage. I don't need God now, only later. That is the number one sin of all, to trust ourselves, not God. That's the number one sin of Israel, with all the good promises that God gave Israel. They did not trust God first. Would You help us to make us faithful in everything that we do, and may Your blessings be on us as we trust You first and in everything that we do. May You also bring blessings to those people we serve, we work for, those people who are around us. I pray that indeed our life will be able to show who we believe and how good it is to believe in the Lord who created the heavens and the earth, in the God who was willing to send His only Son to die for our sins and then was resurrected for our life, so that we can not only be free from the punishment of our sins in hell, but we can also have power to overcome sin and live a loving life, a life of integrity, a life that is good in God's eyes. Our prayer is in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.